BevMo hours.
Kai Rizdahl is all of us right now.
No, don't start the music yet. I am not prepared. I am not prepared. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Oh, and there he goes again. Daniel Ramirez driving today, giving the big to the two of us.
He's like, get it together, Rizdahl.
Oh, boy. Hey,
hello,
everybody.
Everyone.
It's Kai Rizdahl. Make Me Smart, the daily version. This is Thursday, a hollowed out shell. Pretty peppy, I think, though, for a hollowed out shell kind of Thursday. Molly Wood's on the other end of the phone. Here we are to make today make sense. Oh, my goodness.
The man is just trying to order a beer up in here. He's just trying to get a beer order in before the end of the window.
Oh, man. We will explain the whole beer ordering thing at the end of the pod. But, yes, that's what I was
believe
doing.
We shall. I believe we shall. Let's see. Hollowed out shell Thursday. Yep. I'm gonna go with slightly peppy. Yeah. We did wake up to one of those black hole suns again in the Bay Area. But,
I saw that.
Yep. Yeah. There's some, I mean, I make no light of it. It is a terrible situation up in Napa and Sonoma County.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to do what we do. We're going to do what we do. We're going to do the news. We're going to do a Make Me Smile. Two of them.
Mine's going to
double smile.
Mine's going to make us cry, by the way. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on.
Look, I'm sorry, but I'm a little fragile right now, and I'll explain when we get there.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm not clicking this link until the last minute.
And you're going to have to turn the sound on, too. Should we do some news?
Let's do it.
Okay. I picked one that, frankly, I got from you, and I need you to explain to me why this is. It seems not great. This thing from Facebook that it's going to put public group discussions in people's news feeds and search results. Tell me what's going on here. They're going to take groups and make them more spreadable?
Yeah, which is weird. It's a weird product choice, I think we can agree. Facebook wants you to join more groups, and I think the theory is that you will be more engaged with Facebook if you are in groups. Like, the business rationale for this is you're more likely to spend more time on Facebook if you're in a group of people who share your interests. And that was kind of super back in the before times in the good old days when your interests were like knitting or the local coffee shop. Right. You know, that was like fine. Right. It is less good when sort of virulence in social media, bad behavior is at an all-time high, and the interests that seem to be spreading really quickly on Facebook are armed militias and QAnon. I should be clear, like, I'm speaking a little bit facetiously, like, I'm sure that more groups are devoted to knitting in schools and trying to help parents figure out remote schooling and things like that than to QAnon and armed militias. But those are growing fast.
Yeah. Is this, as you and I have talked about before, is this Facebook's typical response to an issue with Facebook, which is, hey, here's more Facebook?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it also shows you that Facebook is not at all worried about unintended consequences, because the unintended consequences of this are you're going to see more groups promoted in your feed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be more likely to come across groups that may or may not have a militia-minded or QAnon bent. If you're already in a group and all of a sudden the things that you're posting in a group, nobody has an expectation that the groups are like private, private, private.
Yeah.
But if you're in a group and it's local, and all of a sudden the things that you're posting in that group are showing up in search results and showing up in people's news feeds. Like, in addition to the idea that, you know, it could be promoting groups full of harmful behavior and content, it also increases the chance that your nice little safe space that you thought you had on Facebook could get trolled because it's just more evident to people. In fact, posters apparently can join discussions without even joining groups. It's just like it's a classic Facebook move, which is like, oh, are you having fun on Facebook? You should have more fun with more strangers.
Okay. All right. I thought that was something that I should be paying attention to. And lo and behold, Molly Wood says I should be. So good. Okay.
It's just, I mean, groups are the place where previously a lot of this misinformation, disinformation, and, you know, incitement to violent behavior had been spreading kind of unseen.
Yeah.
I guess this could make some of it more seen. But that doesn't seem like a great thing either.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that you've explained my news item, why don't you explain your own?
I know. What the heck?
Thanks for doing all my work for me.
Well played, Rizal. Well played. File this under everything I ever knew I learned from Zeynep Tufekci.
Yeah.
Because, man, she is just sort of like ahead of the curve on everything related to the coronavirus specifically and many, many other things. She had a piece in The Atlantic from yesterday, updated today. And it's about the way that the novel coronavirus is spreading. And yep. So she makes the point that one of the things we've explained on this show a couple times is the R-naught, which is like how the rate of spread, the rate of contagiousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay, great. That's super that you learned all that, but you should focus less on that now and focus on this thing K. There's always a thing. I'm going to give you the too long right. didn't read, the TLDR version. Yes. What she is essentially arguing is that differences in the way that COVID spread seem to suggest that it comes down to, in a lot of ways, big clusters of people and people themselves who are particularly contagious. So like super spreader people at super spreader events. And that suggests, and she said, she talks about how like Japan, there were so many predictions that Japan was just going to have this mm-hmm. like horrific outbreak. And that what Japan did, and this is sort of like both a meta metaphor and mm-hmm. also a really good effect. Japan was like, oh, okay, so we have to approach this in a way where we think about it in terms of groups and we think about it in terms of clusters where the virus is being spread around and can be spread to other clusters. And so they took this approach of cluster busting, which was like, you know, no big groups, keep infected groups away from each other, and then, you know, maintain all of the same kind of like social distancing and mask wearing and massive testing techniques that can keep a virus from spreading. It also includes, because they think that some people might literally be more contagious than those people, like the woman in South Korea, patient 31, who infected however many, like 1,000 people in one church. She emphasized the importance of backwards contact tracing instead of just forward-looking contact tracing, like who you might infect, start to look back at where you got it and how you got it in order to bust up these clusters. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say this makes me despair just a tad because we can't even do forward contact tracing. I know that probably is not a thing. I don't even know because I'm not an epidemiologist. But the idea that we have multivariable contact tracing, let alone multivariable spreaders and super spreaders and all this, it just really gets a little bit debilitating. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I was hoping that it wouldn't because...
Okay. All right.
I'm hoping for the opposite effect here, which is, I mean, for one thing, the more you know, the more you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also suggests that like the kind of day-to-day people, the day-to-day behavior of mostly distanced people is not as dangerous potentially as we think it is.
Well, that's good.
That it only increases our understanding of what do they call it, like the three C's, like crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically people cram together for a long period of time in poorly ventilated spaces, shouting or singing or talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that it gives you a little hope that like when you pass somebody on the trail or when you go to the grocery store or when you, you know,
yeah, I kind of made peace outside. With that one. Yeah, I made peace with the whole passing close to somebody, but extremely briefly. I'm like, it can't be that. Yes, of course, it could be that that's going to make me sick, but it can't be because otherwise we'd all be dead. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Yeah. So the more we know, I think the better we understand it. And I don't. I found this kind of helpful because it was like, okay, any strategy is a strategy that can help. I agree with you that. Federally speaking, not so much, but maybe like locally, this is the way we could go.
Yep. Yep.
We know. Speaking of people crammed into poorly ventilated places, Amazon said, because I brought two.
Yeah, he did.
Drink,
that's all right.
If you're playing the bingo thing.
Yep. Nice little cackle.
Because this was
good cackle. That was a good cackle.
I feel a little peppy. Maybe it's because vacation is coming.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We should remind people. We should remind people you're not here next week. That's all I'm saying.
Just I will not be here next week.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Yes.
Continue, please.
So Amazon, there was a big piece that came out this week from Reveal about Amazon's factories and general safety levels there, mm-hmm. to which Amazon took great exception. They said, you know, your injuries are way higher than the industry average. On top of that, people have been complaining about safety measures with respect to COVID-19. And now the company has revealed that more than 19,000 Amazon workers have contracted COVID-19 during the pandemic.
Many. That's so many.
Mm-hmm.
That is so many.
Now, they say that because they have a 1.3 million Amazon and Whole Foods Market frontline employees, that its rate of infection was actually 42% lower than expected compared to the general population rate in the United States.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of people.
Yeah. That is a lot of people. All right,
yep.
Daniel Ramirez, if you're all so hot and bothered, hit the music when I'm not ready, pal. Now would be a good time. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. He's in there like,
he's like,
I'm not doing it now. All right,
that was the most passive-aggressive 3 seconds I ever heard, and I love him for it.
Okay, you get to go first on this one, because I'm going to close this out with a little tearjerker, and then we'll get into the whole reason I'm looking up beers.
Oh, biscuits. This is also a bittersweet moment about America, but the Supreme Court of Ireland has officially determined, this was like all over today, Kimberly Adams, Twitter, and Slack, my friends and I sent it to each other constantly, for all of you sourdough bakers during the pandemic, you were right. The Supreme Court of Ireland has found that the bread in Subway's heated sandwiches has so much sugar in it that it does not meet the legal definition of bread.
Which is just too beautiful. It's honestly, it's
hashtag this is America.
Yes.
You're just having meatballs on a cookie, friends. Not bread.
Oh man, it's what are we eating in this country? What are we eating? Okay, so here's mine.
Here's mine because
I love this one a lot. Have you seen it? Okay, I found this courtesy of Rex Chapman, who we've talked about before, and who, by the way, we're going to try to get on this pod. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So if you know him,
hook us up. DM us and hook us up. Anyway, so a guy who goes under the Twitter handle Book of Jonah tweeted this one out, and it's a TikTok of a person who took a video of her next door neighbor, who's 90 years old, coming to say goodbye to her dog, who was elderly and apparently clearly not long for being around. And here's what gets you. They set it to the music from Up.
Dude, there is no way in hell I'm ever playing this video with a sound on. I'm already
You have to.
Nope.
And it's this old man and this old dog just saying goodbye. And so I've got an old dog. She's old. She's fine now, but she's old, right? And it's coming soon. Anyway, we'll put it in the show notes. Tony, I'm sure we'll do it. And it's just, it's a little bit of a tearjerker. It's just great. It's 59 seconds of your life. Have a look. It's a dog and an old man.
While
Molly dabs her eyes and stops crying, I'm sorry. I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't know that was going to happen. Of course, I never know what's going to happen with you. I know that's not fair.
I mean, it's pretty much always going to happen, and this is.
So here's why I was looking up beer.
Yeah.
So we are, and I can't even believe I'm saying this. We are like within a stone's throw of doubling our goal for the pumpkin spice challenge, which you will remember was $100,000 and I will drink a pumpkin spice beer. We blew past that. And so we said, okay, what if we do 150 grand and it's Molly drinking a pumpkin spice beer too? And then we blew past that and we're still drinking a pumpkin spice beer, but we're so close to $200,000. It's
so close.
Insane. So I now have to go out tonight and find a couple of pumpkin spice beers because, well, I've been putting it off because I'm in denial, but also Thank you. It's just, it's unbelievable what all y'all have done, and I appreciate it so very much. The URL, one more time, is marketplace.org/givesmart. There's a KPA glass. There are some coasters, which, oh, by the way, whichever producer or development person is listening to this, I do not have coasters, and I want some coasters. I'm just saying.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. And we're going to do it. We're filming it tomorrow on Friday at 11:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm looking for beer. That's why I'm looking for beer.
I really believe in you guys. I really believe that we can, like, I love a round number. We can double the goal. Also, I'll be like, it's me. Okay. All right. I also get to have the $100,000 banner. Well. And beer. Yay!
I was like, you get the $100,000? What? That was an unfortunately timed midnight, pause right there.
Midnight Pacific tonight is the cutoff for the official deadline. These are your last hours to get the KPA glass, which I think you all want for sure. I'm excited. My beer came.
I should have.
I don't know if we're allowed to spoil.
No spoiling, because I don't even know yet. But I will say,
real time, I asked our fundraising team, the real time update as of this exact moment, 3:45 Pacific on October 1st, is $193,244.
Hey, that's bananas.
From 3,171 donors. That is bananas.
So incredible. So let's do this. We'll go out. All y'all have sent so many good recommendations. Vaughn Shannon, Shipguard Pumpkinhead, Susan Whalen, Wasatch Brewery Pumpkin Ale, Nick Bentham wants the Schlafly Pumpkin Ale, and we got this from Christine as well. Here's the voicemail.
Hi, Kai and Molly. This is Christine from New Jersey. You have both helped me through some challenging times, and now I want to help you through yours. Before I start, I would like to establish my credibility by stating that I am a history teacher, I have a golden retriever, and my new favorite drink, thanks to Molly, is a Batanga.
Now that
you can trust my opinions, I hope you can take the following suggestions sincerely. I want to put in my vote for Voodoo Ranger Atomic Pumpkin as your pumpkin beer of choice. It may not turn you into a pumpkin beer lover, but it will surely make what seems to be a dreadful experience for you a little more bearable. Thank you for everything you do to make us smart.
You know what would be terrible is if I actually like one of these. That would be terrible.
My
whole reputation would be shot. Then what the hell do I do with myself? That's like my identity practically.
Or you'll just be like a real beer lover. I hope you like it. That would be amazing. You have to admit it.
I will.
You have to fess up if you like it.
Scout's honor. I absolutely will.
Okay.
I absolutely will. All right.
Good. That is it for our daily show tomorrow. Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. If we like our beers, we may have them with us because I, for one, have a six pack. So I guess we'll see. You can find that on the Marketplace APM YouTube channel at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Gosh, you guys are great.
Yeah. It's stunning. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Stunning.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Cullen. Marissa Cabrera joins us this week as a producer. First Thursday, I think, right? Tomorrow's the first Friday? Or was she in last week? I don't even know. I was away. Anyway, Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz does everything around here. Erica Phillips, she writes our newsletters and the smart speaker skill on those devices, the name of which we cannot say.
We cannot, because you will email us. Yeah. Today's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and that very same Daniel Ramirez. That's why he gets to play it whenever he wants. The senior producer is Bridget Bonner. The executive director of On Demand is Taryn Yemez.
I wrote it. I can do whatever I want with it.
I wrote it. Play it when I feel like it.
Oh, man. Boom.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.